Welcome to Inside Analog Photo. I'm your host, Scott Shepard. The Inside Analog Photo radio program is all about the traditional photographic process. We talk about all aspects of analog photography, including the hybrid workflow. You can find out more information over at www.insideanalogphoto.com. And of course, Inside Analog Photo is brought to you by Fujifilm, making life more colorful. These guys have the coolest instant photography materials known to mankind. They have, of course, the pack film in 3.25 by 4.25 and 4x5, color and black and white. They have the Instax systems in the wide format, the Instax 210 camera and film, and of course the Instax Mini in the Instax Mini 7 and the Instax Mini 25, both in color film. Beautiful stuff. There's nothing cooler than instant photography. You get a print, because if you don't have a print, you don't have a real photograph. This is great fun stuff. This is great for art. This is great for business. This is cool stuff. You definitely want to check them out over at www.fujifilmusa.com/professional, making life more colorful. Our friends over at Photo Publicist, providing worldwide publicity, strategic promotion, social media marketing, and business development for the photographer, turning photographers into celebrities. You can find out more information over at www.photopublicist.com. Our friends at Richard Photo Lab for the highest quality work known to mankind anywhere on this planet. Unbelievable developing, scanning, and of course, output on high quality Fuji Crystal Archive. Unbelievable cool stuff these guys are up to. And remember, you don't have a photograph unless you have a print in your hand, and you need to print your pictures. This is important. You need to supply proofs to your customers and even print your own work, because it's not about looking at it on a monitor. It's about holding a print in your hand. Definitely check these guys out at Richard Photo Lab, of course, at richardphotolab.com. Our friends over at DR5. DR5 Chrome Black and White Developing, that turns your black and white neg into, that's right, black and white chrome. Unbelievable stuff. www.dr5.com. Our friends over at Upstrap at upstrap-pro.com for the camera strap that will not slip off your shoulder, guaranteed bar none, the coolest strap around. Our friends at Iger Studios for the finest quality drum scans known to mankind, igerstudios.com. Our official media partner, APUG, the Analog Photography User Group, for all things traditional photographic process on the web, www.apug.org. And our official philanthropic partner, George Eastman House International Museum of Photography and Film, over at www.eastmanhouse.org. Today on Inside Analog Photo, we're going to be here with Clark Patrick. Clark is a very cool editorial and advertising photographer out of Minnesota. Clark's done work for 3M, Target, Red Bull, Columbia Records, Atlantic Records. It just goes on and on. He's got some beautiful, very cool photography. And there's one thing that ties all this really cool work together. Guess what? Film. That's right. He takes portraits. He does aerial work. He does advertising work. He does a lot of fabulous photography. And I think you're going to find the interview here with Clark very enlightening. Great, beautiful work from Clark. And of course, on this very special, unique medium called film. Pretty fun time. And Clark's going to tell us about his journey, his story, all the cool stuff that he's been up to. And I think you guys are going to dig it. Clark, how you doing today?
Good, man. How are you doing?
Good. Thanks for joining us here on Inside Analog Photo. Great to have you on the program to talk about yourself and your cool film-based, beautiful photography.
Yeah, I'm excited to chat.
This is cool stuff. So, Clark, why don't you tell our listeners about yourself? You're a photographer out of the Minneapolis area, but tell me about Clark.
Primarily, I'm a commercial-based shooter, but I do a lot of personal work on the side, and I've been shooting for myself for about 7 years now, and a lot of my commercial client work is digital-based, but I do get an opportunity to rock film every once in a while when there's some flexibility. And yeah, I kind of have a pretty varied style. For my commercial work, I kind of focus on sort of lifestyle type of stuff, and then I also do quite a bit of aerial photography. I like to focus on portraiture work too. So yeah, I mean, that's kind of what I do, and yeah, I'm primarily based out of Minneapolis. Most of my clients are here, but I get some fun travel gigs from time to time, especially some of the aerial-related stuff. So yeah, that's kind of related to my biz. That's what I do.
Yeah, I mean, there's some great companies in Minneapolis. I mean, you got Target and 3M, and we can go on and on. There's some good companies probably to get some decent gigs with.
Yeah, it's an interesting place to be based. I don't know if this is still true or not, but theoretically, the word was always that Minneapolis was the fourth largest photography market in the country. And there's probably 50 to 75 fairly big time commercial photographers that are based here. And then probably another 100 or so that are picking up work around town. Also, Minnesota has, I think, 35 Fortune 500 companies that are based in the Twin Cities that do a huge volume of photo work. And yeah, like you said, Target is a big player here. There's a bunch of people in town who their entire businesses are shooting stuff for Target. So it's a good home base, basically.
So how did you get into photography? Did you do this when you were a kid? How did you come about wanting to actually say, I want to make my living by taking photos?
Kind of how it came about was I went to college here in Minnesota at the U of M. I just had an opportunity to start college early. And then my degree was pretty much in politics and political science. And after college, I went and worked in the U.S. Senate in Washington, D.C. for a little while. And while I was there, I sort of had the realization that I kind of liked thinking about politics, but I didn't want to have to do it as my job. So I sort of totally reevaluated and made a pretty big lateral move. And I ended up moving to Austin, Texas, and working in film production. And I was really interested in wanting to kind of be a part of the film world. And I went there because it seemed like a decent market. And when I got there, I ended up becoming business partners with a couple brothers producing music videos for all kinds of different labels. But it was sort of the time when the music industry was completely falling apart. And so we got some okay work, but we basically couldn't make any money. And so we all kind of went broke. I came back to Minnesota and I did a sales job for a year that I made some good money and that I hated doing, but kind of got me back on my feet. And then I decided at that time that I wanted to do photography because of all the film experience that I had. It was something that I could do more on my own as one individual person, as opposed to always needing a big group of people to get a project done. And so I made a pretty bold move in that I basically just quit my job and went out the next day and spent like $40,000 on gear. And then just basically was like, all right, now I have to make it work. And I've pretty much been working like 70 hours a week ever since. And fortunately, the photo industry was in kind of a better place as a whole at that point than it is now. So I was able to hit the ground running and kind of get established before things got pretty tight in the last few years. So that's kind of my story.
Pretty cool deal to be able to basically out of nowhere and just have this whim of want to do this and just go buy a ton of stuff and say, I'm doing it now. No guts, no glory.
Yeah, the business is a lot like that. I mean, it kind of takes a lot of guts, like you said, to kind of go all out. And I think looking back on it now, I don't even know if I would do that again because it's such a different kind of landscape in the business. But it was also kind of my stupidity. I didn't know anything. I just went for it. And in some ways, you sort of think, okay, well, it's good that I was kind of as dumb as I was because otherwise I wouldn't be here. So it worked out, but yeah, it was a risky move for sure.
But you enjoy your life as a photographer, though.
Yeah, I do, definitely. And it's kind of interesting how it changes over time. I haven't been in it for 25 years or 30 years or even 15 years, like a lot of my colleagues or people that I know pretty well. And so it means different things for different people at different points in their career. So it's kind of interesting how it changes for you over time. But yeah, I definitely enjoy doing it as my job and my lifestyle. I mean, otherwise, I probably would be out of it at this point.
Well, you think about it, $40,000 is a lot of dough, but some people blow $40,000 on a car and wrap it around a pole the next day. So you made a pretty wise investment.
What's interesting about it is like gear is just gear. I think that there's so many people in the business who get really wrapped up in being defined by the gear that they have or what they use. And in the day, it's like you can go out and drop a bunch of money on gear, but it's just stuff and you can sell it later. It has a value and it doesn't define what you're doing or who you are. I mean, you have to use what you have and hustle to make something happen with the gear that you have. So it's a big deal, but it's also not because you can just sell it and get yourself out of the hole if you need to.
Exactly. So did you start off pure digital and then you brought film into the play, or did you start off with film and then work into digital, or how's the analog component playing to what you're doing?
Well, basically, I started out in film, and my biggest investment, I guess, was more in like lighting and kind of more studio-related equipment and stuff. And so I was kind of like right in the transition between the two, and I guess I had both. I sort of had like the first round versions of the Canon digital gear. I think the very first physical camera I bought was a Hasselblad, kind of the standard 503 traditional that was the mainstay forever and ever in the business. And I guess with commercial jobs, I worked my way up. So it's like I didn't have awesome assignments when I first started. I did work for Red Bull and kind of event-based things, and I was the in-house shooter at this music venue, shooting live stuff like every night. So it was kind of eventy stuff and then a little bit of editorial stuff. So no one really cared. It was like I could use whatever camera or whatever gear I wanted as long as they were able to get pictures that they wanted. And so I kind of like always just did a mix between the both from the beginning. Especially shooting live stuff at night, I would shoot that all on film because you could just have a much better range. You could get way more stuff. And I also did that specifically to teach myself how to become a better shooter. If you're shooting in the dark, basically, and trying to capture good moments on film in a music venue, it's a good challenge to figure out how to know what you're doing, basically. So, I mean, I guess the answer is I sort of started using both. And kind of that's the way that I have always done it since I started, which is probably pretty unique in the business in that it kind of dates me exactly kind of at the beginning of the real transition between film to digital, which is kind of an interesting sort of timeline, basically.
So tell me, why would you bother shooting film then if you have all this cool digital gear? What do you like about analog capture over shooting digital?
Well, sort of tracking along the timeline of digital with film, digital has come a long way since its beginning. And I mean, in my opinion, it was bad early on, especially like studio commercial shooters that were shooting with the very first versions of leafbacks, where you'd take 3 frames for each of the RGB things. And then like if you were on a tripod and it moved at all, then the frames would be all messed up. But those backs cost $60,000 or something like that, and they were, I don't know, like 3 megapixels or something ridiculous. For everyone's cell phone now is better than those $60,000 cameras were. So it's sort of like it was really horrible in the beginning. And so if you were going to take good images, you had to still use film for quite a while. And then it kind of got to a point where I was like, oh, digital's getting a lot better. The price of the gear is coming down. But now we're at a point where people make the argument all over the place online or wherever that, oh, digital's way better and it's cheaper and just everyone loves digital. But the reality is that they really are 2 different things. And depending on what you're doing, they function in different ways. And the other reality is that film in some ways, and I guess it depends on how you want to make the argument, but I say film is still better and better in certain categories. For example, if you shoot an 8x10 sheet of film, color, black and white, whatever, and you get that scanned and you want to use that for prints, an 8x10 film scan is about the equivalent of a 100 megapixel digital camera. And there is no 100 megapixel digital cameras. There's 60, and those cameras cost $80,000 or whatever. So if you want to print something nice and huge for a gallery showing or museum or whatever, and you want a beautiful, very sharp, high-resolution, amazing image, shooting off a sheet of 8x10 film is still actually technically superior, which is pretty cool, that part of it. And then just beyond that, my whole thing, I guess to answer your question more clearly, is that I still believe that film and digital are really different things. They have a different look and different feel, and it's also kind of a different shooting process. When you're shooting on digital, you don't really have to pay attention to the fact that you have a limited number of frames. Whereas when you're working in film, you literally have to make every shot count more because you have less frames to work with, unless you feel like running through tons of rolls of film. So it's a different process, and it also looks different.
So tell me, with all of the stuff that's available, what film do you like? What look do you like? What do you like to shoot? Are you shooting chrome, color neg, only black and white for film? What do you like?
So what I like to do is multiple different things. I have an 8x10 camera that I occasionally use for landscape stuff, kind of for fun if I'm traveling. It's a field camera, so it's a smaller one. And then every once in a while, I'll do a portrait with it for fun. And that usually I do color, and then I'll have it sent away. Have somebody else develop it for me. I don't develop any of my own film. And that's kind of just an occasional use thing, just sort of for fun. And then I also have a couple of the old school 70s versions of Canon SLR 35mm cameras, a couple different ones of those. And I'll just use whatever, Kodak or Fuji. I'm not really too particular. I mostly shoot color negatives and also send that away. And I bring those with, again, like when I'm traveling, or shots at the airport, or just kind of fun portraits and stuff like that. But what I use the most for film is I use my Hasselblad, and I've got, I don't know, I think like 8 or 10 film back. So I'm shooting 120, It's funny, actually, because the film that I use, I buy film from other commercial photographers who have just like stocks of it left in their fridge from the last 20 years of being in the business. So I just buy out like boxes of film from other photographers. And I intentionally kind of say like, well, what old film do you have? And I use a lot of film that's expired and been in hot environments or funny places or whatever. And then it turns into really kind of a crapshoot when you're shooting with it. And so I'll shoot a couple rolls and some of them will be dead. There won't be any images. And then some of them have a red streak down every single frame or whatever. So I shoot with this kind of old expired film. And again, I send that all the way to a place in Illinois to get developed for me. And then the other thing that I do all the time, I love it, is I use the Fuji instant film. And I have a couple different old Polaroid backs. So I use the Fuji instant film and I shoot that stuff all the time. And I do use it occasionally as sort of a light meter or for light tests and stuff. But mostly I just shoot it because I like the instant film. So I use all different kinds of varieties of things in different ways. And occasionally I'm able to convince clients for me to shoot film for jobs and not just editorial jobs. I shot a job this last summer for the Twin Cities Metro Transit, the public transportation for the Twin Cities. And they wanted to put a bunch of signage on bus sides to promote their transit system or whatever. And art director said, oh, we kind of want like this vintage-y feel or whatever. And so I said, okay, well, we'll do the shoot with digital, but then let me shoot it with instant film. And we'll scan it and I'll blow it up and we'll make it work. So I did this whole campaign shooting instant film. And it was actually blown up as not complete bus sides. I don't know what they're called. Bus trucks, I guess is what they call it. And so it was really cool. Because I think some people think that an image coming off that small might not be able to work. But, I mean, those were 2x3-inch size images that we used on the side of buses. And it looked good. It looked fine. So it was kind of a cool project.
How cool is that you get to shoot anything commercially and have someone really dig instant Fuji pack film? Yeah, I love this stuff. Yeah. I'm like a junkie, dude, for instant photography. I don't know why. I have been forever. Yeah. And the Fuji stuff is just sweet, especially when you can hack a negative out of the color stuff and even the black and white. I mean, it's pretty unique stuff. And for some reason lately, I've just been on this pack film binge. It's unique. You pull it and that's it, brother. That's what you got. You either nailed it or it sucks. When you get it's funny. Like right on the money. It's cool stuff.
Yeah, well, and like I said, I mean, I think it's really interesting in that I've had an argument or a conversation, I'll say, with a number of people about all these iPhone apps and kind of like Photoshop filters or whatever that basically mimic different styles of old film or instant film or whatever. And the thing for me is that the reality is that they still physically, visually, actually look different. If you are experienced in the photo business and industry, you can tell the difference. And so I kind of think it's interesting that those things are so prevalent and so many people use their iPhones and then they put the instant film filter on it and then they put it up on Twitter and you look at it and you're like, okay, that's cool. That looks like an iPhone picture. It doesn't look like an instant film picture. But I think for a lot of people who don't actually work as photographers or don't have experience using it, they don't know the difference because they've never really seen the difference before. And so it's an interesting sort of thing that exists in the analog world is how much mimicking of digital imagery there is for actual analog stuff. Kind of interesting.
Well, everybody wants their photography to look like cool analog, so they digital and run a bunch of hacks through it. And don't get me wrong, I mean, you can shoot some digital, and Nick's got some stuff like SilverFX Pro, too. You can do some pretty cool stuff with digital, so I'm not going to throw the whole digital thing in the can. But I think, and probably as well as you, if every one of your clients said, dude, shoot my stuff on film, you'd be like, cool.
Right. I think what is cool about the way that the industry and the world is in general is that photography is just a different thing than it's ever been before. I mean, there's such a broad spectrum of what you can do. I think that just the idea of being able to take some really great negatives and scan them and then work on them in Photoshop later also, I think that that's an awesome thing. I mean, it's like I'm really glad that I'm sort of the era that I am. In the fact that I like to be able to go into my negatives and erase a piece of hair out of somebody's face from a film scan. It's cool. And back in the day, it sort of sounds like a horror story to me about like, oh, we just scratched it and then painted it in. It's like, that doesn't sound good. So there's definitely a lot of positivity to the digital era that can aid the film stuff. It's like they can benefit each other, basically. So yeah, it's cool.
So out of all the stuff that you've been shooting, personal work, client work, events, shooting bands and clubs, whatever it is, what do you like doing the best? If you could do anything in photography, what would you want to shoot?
Kind of what I love the most is doing portraiture work. I love interacting with people. I love taking pictures of strangers, not necessarily fashion or models or anything, just everyday people, interacting with them, getting the opportunity to kind of capture a bit of who they are on the film. And I like a variety of tools when I'm doing that, film and digital. My newest thing that I'm trying to get a setup rolling and get a lot more serious about is doing some ambrotype and daguerreotype stuff. And I'm really excited about exploring that. It's something that I've only done with other people's stuff just on one occasion. But I think it's so beautiful. And for me, I kind of feel like as a photographer working professionally, I really want to be able to experience the whole spectrum of the history of the photo world. And that's right at the beginning. I mean, that was the beginning of photography, was daguerreotype and ambrotype. So I'm really excited to start exploring that. So, I mean, it'll be interesting to see what I can get out of that experience, but I'm excited to get into it.
Very, very cool. So what type of feedback do clients say when you're like, well, I'm going to shoot this on film, or they don't even know? You just shoot stuff and they get it? Is there ever negative feedback in regards to, what is that? What are you doing?
Yeah, exactly. Well, really, most of the time when I have the opportunity to shoot on film for a client, it's almost always a client that I've worked with before. And so they know me and we've done projects before. And it's usually something that they really kind of respect my opinion or my thought process and kind of want my input on the best way to approach the assignment. A lot of times, commercial oftentimes is disappointing in the fact that a lot of times they don't really care about your take on what it is they're trying to do for what they need. I mean, you get layouts from advertising agencies and they basically say, copy this photo exactly how it is here. And you can shoot all kinds of other imagery that is probably better suited for what they're doing, but they don't care because their end client has already has this idea in mind of what they need it to be. So it gets to be the point where you're just kind of a technician. You're sort of just following orders and getting through. So like I said, the opportunity where you get to really explore and use film and do things a little bit more in your own perspective is when you have a client that knows who you are, they've worked with you, they respect what you're doing. So it's definitely more of a privilege. And it is interesting, too, because there's a lot of younger art directors and creative directors who have never been a part of a photo shoot that's been shot on film before. And so that is pretty funny because a lot of the younger generation, I mean, I sort of include myself in that, but I'm already getting older than some of the people that I work for. And they're like fascinated to see a shoot on film. Is it going to work? Is it going to turn out? Like, how many shots do you need to take? Can we see anything? How does it work? They're just like amazed that a picture could even come out of it. So that's kind of funny. And I think that there probably is a very good chance that there could be much more of a trend towards younger generation creative actually asking for and looking for things to be shot on film because it's something different. It's different than the standard. And advertising is all about doing something different. So I've noticed that. I know that things are happening like that around the country and here in Minneapolis. So, yeah, it's cool.
Well, no, it's very cool. Like you said, it's amazing to be able to go on to jobs and have art directors and these advertising people not even have ever experienced the whole film gig. And when you do that, they're like, whoa, it's magic.
Yeah, well, it's really interesting. The pacing of it is different because they're so used to people showing up with the camera and just shooting the shit out of whatever it is that they're doing. And then being able to look at it all just right there and examine every single little detail of everything on the computer monitor. It's amazing to me how much commercial photography is done tethered to computers. I mean, it's one thing to be able to sit there and shoot all day long on your digital camera, but it's a whole other layer when everything you're shooting is going straight to a huge monitor that 20 people are standing there looking at. I mean, that's even another layer of digital that kind of makes it pretty messed up. Or not messed up, but just much different than film. Because in the film process, you're spending so much more time setting up and making sure that you're just taking a few frames. So it's like people are standing around wondering why you're taking so long to get the shoot ready. It's like, because I'm just going to get it 100% right, and then I'm going to take one roll of film, and then we're done. And there's going to be nothing for you to look at but a few Polaroids. And it's just like blows people's minds that workflow for the day is so different. They just like don't even know how to handle it. So it's kind of interesting in that process too. It's a very, very different working day when you're shooting something only on film or not shooting the hell out of it with 10,000 frames on digital. So it's interesting.
Really, like you said, you can pull a Polaroid, no problem. You can give them a Fuji instant print, and basically that's exactly what you see. So if you want to visualize some Photoshop enhancements, then let your mind wander. But, I mean, this is what it is. And I think, too, with shooting non-tethered, non-digital, non-cinema display, instant feedback, that you're not interrupted as much from anybody on set. And secondary, I think you're going to get better photography when you're not always chimping and looking at the back of the camera or looking at a monitor.
Yeah, it's a different workflow. It's a different way of thinking about what you're doing. Yeah, it's just a different process. I think that that's sort of the big difference. And like I said, the other part of it too is that what's great about where technology is now is that if you shoot a shoot on film and, like I said, you have those, oh no, there was a stray hair or there was this lens flare or whatever, when you scan that imagery, you can still Photoshop the hell out of any picture you want. So it's much less of a scary problem of like, oh no, we didn't get the right thing or whatever. As long as you actually set up correctly, you'll still get the right shot. And if you need to make some adjustments later, you can still do that. So it's not the same level of scariness that it used to be. That's the other part that I think is really interesting about, particularly related to this argument of film is so much more expensive than digital. Well, film sort of theoretically could be more expensive if you shot in the same way that they used to in the 80s and below through to the 30s. Where they would shoot just this insane number of instant Polaroid light tests, and then they would also shoot 100 rolls of film off of one thing because it was super cheap. You could shoot 100 rolls of film, and you had no backup. So out of those 100, three of them had to be 100% perfect, whereas that's not really the case anymore. You can shoot a lot less volume on film and still get what you need because you have the ability to make adjustments later. So that's another thing that no one ever talks about that. No one ever really makes that case in the argument of being able to shoot film now. But it's the reality. Plus, the other thing is film gear is like practically free now. And I mean, you go on eBay, you can buy stuff that used to cost thousands of dollars 30 years ago for like $50. So film gear is cheap now compared to what it used to be. And it's readily available because over the internet, you can find anything you need. Digital gear is not cheap. And so, sure, you can shoot a million frames, but your camera is going to cost 20 times more than your film camera. That whole price argument, I don't necessarily agree with it completely. So, anyway, you didn't even ask me that.
Well, no, it's a great point because, honestly, it is cheaper to shoot film. Okay, if you were doing 50 weddings a year and shooting 75 rolls a wedding, then in the long run, it's going to be cheaper to shoot digital. But like you said, I can go on eBay. I can buy a Canon F1, the top of the line, top fuel camera that used to cost $1 million. I can buy one now for like $500. It's basically almost brand new in the box, never touched.
Right, with all the accessories.
Yeah, and then I can shoot yummy chrome, brand new color neg. I can shoot black and white. I can shoot and cross process. I can do all these cool things. And I got a quality piece of gear that's not going to be outdated in 18 months.
Yeah, right, exactly. And like I said, it's a different process, and you can scan all of those pictures when you're done, and you can still do anything you want to them. So it's not a limiting process in shooting in film. And the other part that's cool or interesting about shooting in film is that there's kind of a credible amount of value to being forced to be more mindful of what you're shooting while you're shooting. I mean, sure, you can shoot like tons and tons of rolls of film, but just in the fact that however many frames you've got, 12 or 24 or 36 or whatever, you actually have to think about what you're doing because you're going to run out of film in 2 minutes if you just sit there and click away at something for no reason. So it makes you think more about what you're doing. And I think that that's one of the biggest problems in photography across the board right now. People just shoot pictures of everything for no reason. There's no purpose behind what they're doing. And so they'll show you their work and all this stuff, and it's like, yeah, but why did you take a picture of that? I mean, that's kind of a cool shot, maybe, or maybe not, but it's like, what was the point? Did you think about that, or did you just click the button? And to me, that's like this thought that, again, doesn't really get talked about very much, but it's a really big deal. The reality is anyone with a digital camera now can take a picture of anything they want at any time, whenever. It's a reason there's 47 billion images online that are just posted up. I mean, that's a real number. I just read a thing a couple of weeks ago. There's 47 billion digital images online, and it grows by like literally millions a day. But it's like, so what? Just because you have the ability to take a picture of something every second, why would you do that? So I challenge people all the time to get film gear and go out and spend a day shooting with a film camera. And you can't tell me that your images aren't going to be better because you thought about them. So that's like kind of a big deal to me, really. So like I said, I tell people that all the time. And some people are like, oh, I never thought of that before. I'm like, really? Like, what?
Well, no, I mean, you're right. Why take a picture unless you want to? And people just keep snappy, snappy, snappy. I mean, I guess it's good to some point because people are documenting certain things. But really, old school, you'd shoot some film and drive through the photo mat and get back a roll and you stuck some pictures on the refrigerator. It was cool. Now people right. don't have anything to share. They don't have prints. They take all these digital pictures and they end up on a hard drive and then their PC crashes and they're SOL. That's it.
Right. Yeah, totally. That's another thing. That's a super awesome point also in that I'm kind of a sort of old school mentality in that I've told people before related again to film and printing things. As I said, if my house burned down, the only things that I would be super bummed and upset that I lost of everything that I have is all of my family's old photo albums and my computer. So it's sort of basically my current work and my family history, which is documented on film that's printed and it's in a book, in an album that I can look at, and so could my future kids and family and whatever. And I think in the digital era across the board, not even just related to photography, but just the digital world, that gets lost a little bit. And I kind of wonder how many people my age or younger or 10 years older than I am or whatever really have ever taken the time to make a photo album and would do that in the future and do it with the thought process of, oh, I want my kids to be able to see what me and my friends looked like when we were in our 20s and 30s. Or I want my grandkids to see whatever. I mean, people do it for their wedding still, and that's like a big thing. But what about your whole life? Rest of your life. Who has a photo album now? Nobody.
You're right. I mean, it's sad. It's really sad. And I think that at least when you shoot film, you have at least a negative. I think a good tip for people is put all your negatives in some kind of a box or some kind of plastic container from like the container store. That when everything's on fire, you can grab it and run, dude.
Yeah, exactly. Obviously, everybody has sort of different things that they care about. But I don't know a single person who would tell you like, oh yeah, my house burned up and I lost everything. And the thing they cared about most was their iPhone and not their family's photo album. It's like, no, you wouldn't give a shit about that at all. You'd totally be like, oh, my grandma and grandpa's pictures when they're a kid. That really means something. It's a part of your heritage. And that's a big part of why there's so much digital imagery out there. Is part of what people are taking pictures of is they're taking pictures of their friends and their family and stuff. I mean, that's a huge percent of the imagery that exists on Earth, digital or otherwise. But if you don't shoot it on film, you don't print it. I mean, you just don't. And yeah, sure, there's probably the rare people out there. And there's a lot of great new printers. And I definitely print digital imagery. But I'm a professional photographer, so I print everything. But it'll be interesting to see in the future if there's a trend towards printing pictures again. I think that there should be, but I don't know if it'll happen.
Well, we would hope so. And it's totally different, too, because you can shoot film, you can get a scan back. It still doesn't look like a print. Print is a photograph, and you don't have a photograph until you have a print. You either have a negative or a digital image, and that's it, but it's not a photograph.
Right. Yeah, totally. That's a whole other layer to it now. What's interesting, I wonder how many people who shoot film still develop their own film. I mean, because that's also another added element to it. And I really haven't done it for years, gone and developed my own film. But that's a whole other layer to the process of photography that is almost maybe like the ultimate lost art, really. And it's also a really amazing experience in its own right. I mean, it's a pretty awesome thing to be in a dark room and see an image just appear on a piece of paper. Here it is. I mean, it's a really exciting experience to do that. But I know that there's plenty of people who've never experienced that element either.
I think things like you said are coming around. I think the newer generation here have completely grown up on digital and they're finding film. I mean, like you said, these new art directors and all these people are like, wow, this is cool stuff, dude. This is unique. So I think the whole film consumption and the whole sector of people using analog materials has been on the rise of the past few years. And hopefully people will find this is cool stuff.
My younger sister, she works for a company that's a trend tracking business that basically provides trend-related information to all kinds of stuff. And their clients are all advertising agencies and big, huge corporations. And they have a lot of actual research just beyond you and I believing that this is true. That because photography itself has become so much more popular of a thing through the digital world, the more interested younger people get the little point and shoot camera. They're like, oh, this is fun. They're taking pictures of everything and friends. And then they get into it a little more and they're like, these pictures are kind of crappy quality. Like, I want some pictures that look like the magazines or whatever, you know. And then they buy like a more expensive digital SLR and they're fooling around with that. And then they see some stuff and they realize, oh, that's film. Like, oh, somebody shot that out of film. And then they just get deeper and deeper. And then all of a sudden, they're basically like me. They've got 25 cameras and they're neck deep in photography and they're into every aspect of it. And that is like real. And that's really happening. And you can see it like on Flickr and stuff. There's so many groups of people that are popping up with your best analog picture or your best Fuji. Another super huge example is the whole Polaroid movement. And the fact that those guys were able to basically resurrect that kind of instant film. And they've got a new branding for it, it's all marketed towards younger people. And they're gobbling it up. I mean, I don't know them personally, but I'm sure that they're making money at what they're doing. So, yeah, it's real. It's really coming back. And I'm all about it. I think it's great.
So, tell me here, where can we find out more information about your photography, Clark? You have a cool blog called The Photo Jedi. You got some neat stuff going on. I think there's some great resources here that people should look and see what you're writing about, look at your work, and just check out what's going on because this is pretty cool, buddy.
Yeah, for sure. So my websites are just my name, which is clarkpatrick.com. And then I have the one that you mentioned, which is called thephotojedi.com, that I do sort of writing. I've got some interviews with museum curators and different people in the business. And then I also have a personal blog that's called A Road Not Taken. And there actually have quite a few images that are Fuji film images on that site. And then another thing that I do is I also started a thing which is called Unite Bike, which is a worldwide day to celebrate biking. And I invite photographers all over the country and the world actually to organize groups of bicyclists and take a group photo of them on the same day every year, which is October 2nd. So that's kind of a cool thing too. So people can check that out, unitebike.com. So yeah, I'm all over the place doing everything.
It's beautiful photography, and I think it's very inspirational, and especially with your personal blog with The Road Not Taken and Photo Jedi and all the stuff you're doing, it's pretty cool. It's just great to see your enthusiasm for photography and art and analog capture and film and instant Fujiroids and all kinds of cool stuff. It's great, buddy. I really appreciate you joining today. This is fabulous work.
Thank you very much. I mean, I really appreciate you inviting me as well. I mean, it's nice to have people be interested in what you're doing and your work and how you approach things stuff. So yeah, thank you for having me. I really appreciate it.
It's great. And like I said, fabulous. And we look forward to chatting again here soon. Thank you so much.
Cool. Yeah. Have a good rest of the day.
Well, there you go. The ever fabulous Clark Patrick. You can check him out over at www.clarkpatrick.com. Very inspirational, great stuff. A lot of cool things going on with Clark and just beautiful photography and the use of analog capture. Very, very cool stuff. The Inside Analog Photo Radio program has been brought to you by Fujifilm for their full line of instant cameras and film, and of course, fine quality Fuji Crystal Archive paper over at www.fujifilmusa.com/professional. Our friends at Photo Publicist, worldwide publicity, strategic promotion, social media marketing, and business development over at www.photopublicist.com. Our friends at Richard Photo Lab for the finest quality lab in the country, richardphotolab.com. Our friends over at DR5 for black and white chroma, dr5.com. Upstrap for the finest quality camera strap that will not slide off your shoulder at upstrap-pro.com. Our friends over at Iger Studios at igerstudios.com. And of course, our media partners of the Analog Photography User Group at apug.org. And our official philanthropic partner, George Eastman House, over at eastmanhouse.org. I've been your host, Scott Shepard, here on Inside Analog Photo. We'll be back next week with more great analog photography.